For me, today is a special day. Every time I preach, it's a special day for me. But I have done it before in Spanish, since Spanish is my mother language. This is going to be my first time in English, so it's a double special occasion for me. So let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. That my words be your words, and that your Holy Spirit be with us, and that the message touch our hearts today. In Jesus we pray, amen. Today we're going to preach a little bit about muscles, exercising, about faith, also about God, and I'm going to tell you some true stories about my life as well, how I have been growing in faith. And so let's start. As Joshua read the scripture reading, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you think faith is important to us? Do you think that we need to exercise our faith every day? Yes. I'm going to relate this to exercising your body every day and how important it is to us as well. Christ triumphant. It says, work of brain and muscle is beneficial. Each faculty of the mind and each muscle of the body has its distinctive office, and all require exercise to develop them and give them healthful vigor. Each will in the living mechanism must be brought into use. The whole organism needs to be constantly exercised in order to be efficient and meet the object of its creation. How often do you exercise, Chuck?
Not enough?
At least 10 minutes a day? Once a week? What about you? Yeah?
All the time.
Yeah? Okay, I try to exercise a little bit. I like to practice. Since I was a kid, I enjoy most of the sports, soccer, to ride my bike a lot, baseball, also ping pong, and basketball as well. So all my life I have been practicing sports, and now that I'm getting older, I fell in love with triathlon. Triathlon is a discipline, an Olympic discipline, where you combine three sports. You swim, then you bike, and then you run. So last year I did, combining the three disciplines, 3,000 kilometers. And the goal for this year is 4,250 kilometers. So I will try and parents, we can exercise with our kids. When we have a good day, a sunny day, sometimes Santiago is coming with me. He's riding his bike and I'm running. Usually I run 10 kilometers on Sunday. So he's coming with his bike and he's my little coach at that time. So it's important for us to teach them, and that we may lead by example. And so I just want to share something is related to the sermon. This is an Olympic champion. I want to show you how he trains in order to be a... He was an Olympic champion in 2008. He's a German triathlete. He has won the Ironman World Championship twice. And he has also won the Ironman 70.3 twice as well. And he is the record holder for the long distance. There are several kinds of triathlons. The sprint triathlon, you swim 750 meters, then you bike 20 kilometers, and then you run 5 kilometers. The Olympic distance, you swim 1.5 kilometers, you bike 40 kilometers, and then you run 10 kilometers. The half distance, or 70.3, you swim 1.9 kilometers, then you bike 90 kilometers, and then you run a half marathon, 21 kilometers. I'm going to do my first on October, so let's see how it goes. And the full distance, you swim 3.8 kilometers, then you bike 180 kilometers, and then you run a marathon, 42.2 kilometers. So it is a lot, no? And can you play the video, please?
So it's really early in the morning, 5:30 for me. That's more middle of the night than early morning. I do prefer to train later than rather than early. But, you know, it's training with a specialist. They tend to jump in very early, and that's really what's made me strong over the winter. You know, swimming with a guy who swims 14:57 over a long course, 1500, that's just impressive stuff. And even if I can keep up with his warm-up, I've already done a great session. And that's really what it's come to in the triathlon. You know, Olympic distance racing, the swim, you can't necessarily win the race, but you can definitely lose the race. And throughout the winter, I prepare doing about 25 to 30K a week. Sometimes I put in a 40K a week just to, you know, have a swim block. You know, to give you an idea of reps, if we do 2100s or something, we'll be leaving somewhere around 120, 125 and coming in on 112, sort of just as a base set, you know, to make sure that we've got enough mileage. And then the harder sets, obviously, you know, they range to anywhere. I mean, one of my favorite sets given to me from a South African swim coach is 4x400s, 4x200s, and 4x100. Each time the 400s leaving on 5 minutes, the 200s leaving on 2:30, and the 100s leaving on 1:15. So that's a massive set, and if I can finish that, if I can actually, you know, be there and finish it, then I know I'm in great shape, and then I don't have to worry about the swim leg. First run of the day, it's a bit of a warm-up to get started and basically get used to the feel of the land again after the swim. It's just a 10K warm-up jog. I just do a little loop to get to the track, and then on the track I love to do some drills, some technical stuff to work on my stride, to work on my speed. I do some sprints just to make sure, because, you know, I'm doing a lot of mileage. I'm running anywhere between 130 and 160 Ks on an active training week, which is, I think, some really big mileage if you consider the other two sports. And therefore, I've got to make sure that I just don't go slow. You know, you can do X amount of mileage, and it's great. You can run 160, you can run 200 kilometers a week. But if you're considering intensity, and that's the big thing about the ITU and the Olympic distance racing, is obviously intensity. On this specific day, I did 2 hours. It was more a warm-up than anything else. I'm just spinning out the legs, you know, sort of easy 60 Ks over the hills of Stellenbosch. That's generally something I like to do, is to prepare my run sets, my hard run sets with a bike ride, just to be very specific and get my legs used to running strength-orientated rather than speed-orientated. You know, we tend to run a very strength-based, and I find that the riding before big run sets just tends to warm me up for that. Generally on the bike, I mean, I obviously do a lot of mileage. You know, I think my biggest weeks on the bike would be around 750 Ks. Off the bike, it changed a so-called brick session where I'm running straight off the bike. And I started off doing 2x2 kilometers uphill, an active rest down the hill. It's again, you know, for me being a tall, fairly heavy guy in terms of a runner, you know, I'm 193 centimeters. I need to do a lot of strength work, make sure I'm up there, and I really struggle on uphill runs. I then went on to go to the track, do a set of 2400s with a 200-meter active rest, which I ran at race pace, or actually just below that, sort of repping in 69, 70 seconds for the 400s, and then taking about a minute or 50 seconds for the 200. It's just something that's obviously a conditioning at a fairly high pace. And after a long day like this, it absolutely hurts. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's got a mental aspect to it. It's getting dark, and you're getting hungry, and it's really tiring. So somehow that's the one side of it where you really have to, you know, try and focus. The other side is obviously that you're thinking, this is great. You know, I'm out here. The sun is setting. It's getting dark. It's my favorite time of the day to run because it's just got this unique atmosphere to it, and it's giving me goosebumps almost just to go out there and think that I'm the only one. Everyone else is sitting at dinner. Everyone else is maybe doing a stretch, going to bed, and I'm out here hammering myself. And that's what I love doing about the sport. You know, the intensity is really what thrives me and what gets me going. Sort of the idea of taking a few guys on to the sprint finish, that's really what makes the Olympic distance so unique, and I just absolutely love it.
So, in order for this German athlete to achieve and to be a champion, he has to be in a strict training mode. Some weeks he's putting 40 kilometers in the swim, 160 kilometers running, and 750 kilometers in the bike. That is a lot. There is a saying in Guatemala that there is no easy bread. You need to go and fight for it. Exercise is important, but it's not the most important. It's not determinant in our lives, but it's important to do it. In order for me to train, I need to really wake up early in the morning so I can do my worship before and then go to train. I wanted to be at home before Santi's worship in the morning. So I need to wake up at 5 a.m., do my worship, then go to the swimming pool. I try to swim 1 kilometer. In the week, I swim 4 kilometers and then come back around 6:15 so I can be with Santis for his worship. Because for me, that is important, more important than go swimming. But in order for me to do it, I have to sacrifice and do an effort to do it. So everybody can do it. I have a friend in the pool. He is 80 years old. He's going to be 80 years old in June. And he was telling me, hey, how was your swim? And it was great today. And I asked him, do you swim often or what? And he told me, I try to swim 1 kilometer a day. So he goes there every day, and he swims 5 kilometers a week. And he told me, whenever I'm not able to come, for example, a Wednesday, on Thursday, instead of swimming 1 kilometer, I swim 2 kilometers, and I say, oh, that's the spirit, no? Kids, it is important for you, instead of watching your tablet or watching TV, it's better if you are playing outside, and you can always ask your mother and your father to take you for a bike ride or to play in the playground, or I think it's healthier for you, and it's going to help you develop better instead of just watching TV or playing with your tablets or your Xbox. For me, and that's my personal point of view, that is a waste of time for me. And I don't want to hurt feelings here, but for me, that is a waste of time. I never watch TV. I sometimes I watch movies with Miriam, but I like to watch based on a true story that is going to give me a message, and that's all I watch. So my point is here is that we need to give an effort. We need to sacrifice something in order to do it. As I was telling, exercise is important, but it's not determinant. And 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into a strict training, as we saw John Frodeno. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now, about faith, about exercising our faith. That is determinant for us. I used to compete at least one competition a month for the whole year. When it's winter, I choose running events. And when it's the summer, I choose triathlon events. And it's good to compete. It feels good, and it keeps me motivated. But the most important is for us to endure in our faith. I want to share with you some true stories about my life that has to be with faith. One of the principles is that we need to be obedient to God. I grew up in the church since I was five. That's when I met Miriam, since we were little kids. Aww. And but then I left church, and I got baptized until I was 26 years. And I went to Adventist University. And all my life I have known about God, but I never took the decision to get baptized. In September 3 of 2006, I went to an evangelistic meeting of Daniel and Revelation. And at the end of the evangelistic campaign, I decided to get baptized. And when I say we need to be obedient to God, before that, I did never give the tithe to God. But then I understand that it's a principle. In Exodus 20:15, it's saying, you shall not steal. And in Malachi 3:8, he's saying that we are stealing when we are not giving tied back to him. So at that time, I have around 80,000 quetzales, is around $10,000 in my savings account. And I knew that I have to get my tithe. So that's for me, that's an act of faith, and also to be obedient to God. So I did it. I was happy because of that. And after that, I started to work for the church I did participate more at church, And at some point, God is going to call you to serve him. And it's an opportunity to do it. So as I was becoming more involved in church, they named me the treasurer of the church in Guatemala, the local church that I was going. In Guatemala, instead of states, we have departments. We have 22 departments, and Guatemala City is one department. And we have a local administration called association over there. And so they always wanted to have a church. And the city is divided by zones. We have 21 zones in Guatemala. And they have a project to build a church in Zona 10. They never have presence over there. So the project was to buy a piece of property, and the amount of money was to collect $300,000 in a short period of time, maybe a year, to do it. Their North American division was going to help us with donating $75,000, and the local church was going to give us $25,000, so $100,000 were there. The other $100,000, we need to lend that to the local organization, like a mortgage with them. And the other $100,000, we needed to put it as a church. And we just have like 6 months to do it. At that time, I was trying to finish my master's. I didn't have a job. I was looking for a job in Guatemala. It was really hard. It took me about a year to get a job there. And they told me, we want you to be a leader of your group. And so we did have five groups, and each group has to collect $20,000 in order for us to get the $100,000 left to buy the property. So I didn't have I didn't have a job at that time. No money. I was living with my savings. That is not too much. 80,000 quetzales is not too much to live. So I was living with that. And I say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So, and I did it by faith. It was by faith. And since I didn't have a job, I was thinking, what can I do in order for us to collect that or find that amount of money? So I organized a tour to an island in Honduras and sell that tour to some other people that I knew. And we went to Honduras to a really nice island. And we did the tour, we came back, and I got around $1,500. And so I give the title of that, and the rest I just put it to the account of the construction. And then I saw that God was in charge, that God was going to provide in order for us to collect that $20,000 for the group and also the other groups. And we were meeting every 3 days. How are we doing with the money? How are we doing with the money? Since I was a treasurer, I had to be in constant meeting with all the members of the groups. And it was a miracle. Like 3 or 4 weeks ago, they called me and they sent me a picture. They were celebrating the 10th anniversary of the church. Amen. I was so happy for that. And I sent them a message. And but we need to say yes to God. And God is going to provide. It's not easy. For me, it was not easy to do it. I didn't have a job. I didn't have the money. And our group was the first group to collect the $20,000. And we were the youngest group of the church. but God provide, and not everything is going to be happiness in Christian life. God is going to send us trials, and we need to trust him in order to grow in our faith, in order to endure, you know. After I got married with Miriam, marriage is a blessing, but it can be tough too. And that is true. Yeah. And everybody here understand when I say that it's tough. At some point, we were having some troubles with Miriam. And she decided just to left home. We were not understanding each other. It was tough for her and for me. So she left and took Santiago too. Matias was not there. And it was one month and days. It was really tough for me. But those days, I was praying a lot. I was trying to be near to God, and I was trying to see what God can do in her life and my life in order for us to be better and to be together. And I was hoping that a miracle was going to happen, because she was decided to not come back. And she wanted to be sure that the will of God was to be with me. And so she asked God, I need a signal in order for get back with him. But it was hard for me. I didn't know nothing about that. And he said to God, I need to know in a dream that we're going to be happy or we're not going to be happy. If a friend of mine or someone that I know is coming to me and telling me that I have a dream and that both of us are not happy, that means that the will of God is not to be with him. So, and she was asking that to God. And I didn't know nothing about that. And suddenly a friend of us, they went to camping for a weekend, and he was more a good friend of Miriam than mine. And Miriam asked this friend, hey, have you dreamed about me lately? And she said, no, I haven't. I dream about you. But they were doing some other stuff. So at the end, she told Miriam the dream. And the dream is that we were together, the three of us, and that we were happy. So that was the response from God to Miriam. And I didn't know nothing. And we were going to be 3 years of marriage at that time. Maybe a week from being 3 years of being married. And so we gathered together, we chat, but he has another condition at that time. She was reading a book about how to grow in the spiritual life. And the condition for her to come back after she received the signal from God, the response from God, is you need to read this book. But the thing that she didn't know is that I already read the book that month. For that month that I was by myself, I read that book, and she didn't know. So when she asked me, she didn't ask me nothing. I just told her, you know what, I was reading this book. And then I didn't understand because she was crying. And she told me, God has responded me in a manner that I never imagined. So I'm going to come back just right now. And he did. And she did. And it was a really tough month for me. So you need to trust in God. It's not easy. Sometimes you're going to have questions. And it's okay to have questions. We are humans, and it's okay to ask questions. At the same time, we did have a dog named Farouk. It was a boxer. It was Santi's first pet. We love him very much. And he was really sick. He was dying of cancer. And we put him into chemo treatment almost for a year. And he was doing much better. But when Miriam left, the dog was really sick. And everyone was telling me, you need to put your dog to sleep. Also Miriam, my family in Guatemala. And I said, God is the one that gives life and take it away. I'm not going to do it. So I was praying God a lot with faith that if he can take it away, and if it was his will to the dog, I wanted to die. I wanted that the dog die in my arms. That was my prayer to God. But one day he was doing really bad, in a bad shape, and I told Santiago, you know what? You need to say bye to the dog because we're going to the bed after you're going to school, and we're going to put him to sleep. And I did have faith all this time, but at this point, I didn't have faith that God can answer my prayer. And we went to the bed, and so it's okay to fail sometimes. It's okay. We are humans. And what happened to when we were at the bed? I was saying bye to him, and the bed came in, and she was looking for the bane so he can put him to sleep. I don't know what happened. She never find the bane, and the dog died in my arms. Suddenly, I was speaking to him, and he died in my arms. So, and it was on my birthday, September 9 of 2015. So sometimes you can think that God doesn't pay attention to your prayers, but he listens every single prayer that we have. And these kind of situations, help me to grow in my spiritual life. And the last story I'm going to tell you is why am I here in Tullahoma SDA Church? After that, Miriam got pregnant and Matthias was born. We were living in Memphis. And I was working as a finance manager in a healthcare facility. But they were facing a lot of financial problems. And I just saw that suddenly my job can go away. Because I was in charge of finances. And I told the owner, you know what? I think that you're going to just going to lose your business if we continue like this. So I am going to look for a job, and I'm going to continue with you if you want to. You can reduce my salary if you want, but I'm going to look for another job. So I found a job in Memphis, and but after a week, they just changed my boss. My boss was a really nice boss, but someone, the new boss, he came from Hungary, and they don't care too much about being loyal. And he was pushing me to do fake invoices. And that was my first week at work. So I told him, you know what? You can ask everybody to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I prefer to lose my job to do something like that. And you need to know that. And I'm saying it to your face. Even if you're my boss and you're pushing me to do it, I'm not going to do it. So I was there. It was very tough, 4 months, really tough for me. I was in a lot of stress because I need to pay the bills. We're paying the mortgage of our house in Memphis. But I knew that I need to start looking for a new job. And this job, I got a job here at Batesville. I'm working in the finance area as well. And it was it's a better job than the one that I have in Memphis. But it was hard, you know. It was hard. When you face this kind of difficulties, it was maybe easier for someone else just to say, yes, I'm going to do it. I depend on the job and I'm going to do it. It was not my case. And I told the Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I want to do the right things, not only for me, but for my family too. Main reason is you. Because I know that this is not correct to do it. So you are in control of the situation, and you're going to open doors and close doors. And he did it. So that's why I'm here. I'm still working for the healthcare organization in Memphis. Right now as a consultant for them. And I also work here at the baseball company. And I'm happy with what I do. I work in my background in finance. So I'm happy with that. And it is really important that in every trial, even though that we're going to have questions, that we're going to have doubts, that we glorify God with our actions. Maybe nobody can see it. That doesn't matter. That is not the most important thing. The important thing is that we have a vertical relationship with God and that He is seeing everything we are doing. And that is the most important thing for me. So it's good to have role models. When I was a kid, well, not a kid, but I was 15 years. Michael Jordan was my sports hero. And it's good for kids to have one, but our role model should be Jesus, no? And Christ is our best example of faith. I want someone to read Luke 2:52, whoever wants to do it first.
Ready?
Go ahead.
You ready?
Go ahead.
And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Thank you. It is important for us to teach our kids about Jesus. Jesus was a kid And since he was a kid, he was growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So that is an example that we should practice in our family, no? Someone else can read Mark 1:35.
Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed.
At what time he did it?
Early in the morning.
I think that's the best time of the day to get in touch with God, because then we have a lot of things to do, and we're going to get distracted. So I think that Jesus was doing that really, really, really early in the morning, because it was the time for him to be alone and where he can have a chat with his Father every day. So we need to follow that example as well. Can someone read Luke 5:16?
And he withdrew himself to the wilderness and prayed.
What he used to do often in a normal day, after he was busy all the time. Jesus was busy all the time. But sometimes he just withdrew away from everything, and he was alone with his Father in prayer. So we need to do that as well. We need to do that. Sometimes we lose that. When I'm going to work, I'm just so concentrated in my work that I lose that. But we need to, even at work, we can just put a time aside where we can read our phones, we can read the Bible, or we can have a prayer. And it's important for us to do it in order for us to be in constant communication with God. Someone else can read Luke 6:12.
Then it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
After he was done with his day, he did have the energy to go to the mountain and be there all night with God in praying. And Jesus, as we do, he was tempted. He went to the desert for 40 days. He didn't eat. And in Matthew 4:4, 7, and 10, because the time that he spent with God every day and every time, he was able to become victorious in those three temptations. He was answering, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And he became victorious against Satan. And so he's an example for us. It's not easy, but we must sacrifice something. And put God in first place in our lives, and why is important to endure in our faith right now? 1 Corinthians 9:25. John Frodeno is competing to get a crown that will not last forever, but enduring in our faith means that our crown is going to last forever. And when you say that you believe in God, you really need to believe in his promises. And one of those promises is that he's coming for a second time to end sin and to take us home. And that's important. The most important thing, so I think it's determinant for us to prepare and to build our faith every day in order to get that crown that will last forever. So I hope that the message was clear, understandable, and I really appreciate the opportunity, and thanks to God that because of him, I'm here, and that God bless you.